on 2FM with Green Farm. Get real with Green Farm's chicken and turkey range. Real protein, real tasty. Game on, weeknights from 6
on 2FM.
Well, for Amila Mahagwave to the two Johnnies for kicking off the weekend in perfect style. It's Friday the 25th of March. I'm Shane Dawson and you're listening to Game On. Coming up over the next hour, Alan Colley is live in studio to chat all things association football as we reflect on the drama of last night's qualifiers and indeed look forward to Ireland's match against Belgium tomorrow. In Gaelic Games, Neil Ewing will look forward to a decisive weekend in the National Football Leagues and we'll hear the thoughts of Oisín McConville and what he's made of it all so far. Shane McGrath will preview the hurling semi-final finals and an all-important relegation playoff in 1A as well. And if that wasn't enough, we'll hear from Jane Mangan on horse racing and get the latest from the Ireland rugby camp ahead of the Women's Six Nations. As always, if you want to get in touch, drop us a text on 51552 or tweet at GameOn2FM.
Game On on 2FM.
Yes, good evening. Happy Friday to one and all. It's great to have your company wherever in the world you are tuning in from as we look ahead to an action-packed weekend of sport. But before we do, a couple of news headlines that caught my eye today. There's Irish interest in the World Match Play in Texas. Seamus Power is currently facing Keith Mitchell. It is tied through 10 holes there and Brooks Koepka is 3-up through 7 against Shane Lowry. John O'Dwyer is set to miss the remainder of the Tipperary's 2022 campaign as he continues his recovery from a knee injury suffered last year. So a huge blow for Tipperary there, planning without Bubbles and indeed the Munster Championship just around the corner. We'll hear from Shane McGrath a little bit later on that one. The Gaelic Players Association will escalate their protest against the GAA in the coming weeks following a vote by team captains and player representatives, as well as continuing to make themselves unavailable for televised broadcast interviews match days. The players have also confirmed that they will not attend any of the forthcoming GAA media launch events in the coming weeks. And in Formula 1, the second practice session in the Formula 1 Saudi Arabia Grand Prix was suspended earlier following a suspected attack near the Jeddah circuit. Clouds of smoke and flames could be seen outside of the complex at a nearby oil depot. Racing did get back underway after a short stoppage. Charles Leclerc was fastest in the first session ahead of Max Verstappen. F1 bosses say the weekend's racing will still go ahead as planned, but they're due to have a meeting later on just on security measures in there. And a bit of good news. Ukrainian athlete Valentina Varetska, who fled Russia's invasion of her country and took refuge in Israel, has today won the Jerusalem Marathon, race organisers have said. So, nice bit of good news there. Alan Colley is live in studio and we're going to chat soccer. But before we do so, I did promise an update on the Women's Six Nations. Nicola Friday was chatting on Friday today ahead of Ireland's Women's Six Nations that kicks off tomorrow. So let's get the thoughts of the newly crowned Ireland captain.
We know exactly the kind of team they are. They're physical. They'll bring dominant carries and dominant tackles. So we have to make sure that we're on form on the pitch tomorrow and executing the game plan that we have put in place for them. So we've had a really good training days on Wednesday and Thursday, and then we had our captain's run just there this afternoon and that went really well. So we're in a good spot for tomorrow now, but it's just about getting out on the pitch now and showing kind of what we can do.
So will be interesting there. 6,000 tickets sold in the RDS for tomorrow's match. So great to hear that and great to hear the thoughts of Nicola Friday there. So hopefully it all goes well beginning tomorrow for Ireland. Alan Colley, how are we? What drama last night. What drama. So much to talk about in the Euro qualifiers. Wales 2-1 against Austria. Italy, of course, losing to Macedonia. Portugal 3-1 against Turkey. I want to start, actually, because Italy have had a Macedonia. And just listen to this bit of audio, because it's just brilliant. Unbelievable. For anyone who missed it, Trzaskowski scored in injury time to dump Italy out and dash their World Cup dreams.
Macedonia going for it all! Would you believe it? Would you believe it? In added time, North Macedonia has shocked Italy. And are Italy out of time? Milevski celebrates. Mancini cannot believe it.
Well, Alan Colley, would you believe it?
I don't think anyone could believe it, Shane. Good evening, first of all. It was high drama last night, and you tend to get that, I suppose, when we're into the stages that we're at, the knockout games, one-off games, two-leg games, whatever the case may be. You see that in, obviously, Champions League level or whatever cup competition, but certainly last night. And I think we've... sometimes I think we're a little bit disrespectful towards international football. It's been really good of late. Obviously, you think back to the Euros as well. And these games last night, I watched the Wales one, following obviously the other results as they were coming in. And of course, you just played out the clip. The unbelievable story of the night was, of course, Macedonia. Absolutely incredible. And in some ways as well, Shane, I also think we're a little bit disrespectful in the sense that years and years ago, they were very much the minnows. But these countries have improved. So I don't think we should look down our nose on any country kind of in that sense, the old school minnow as such. They all have improved. I think the introduction of the Nations League has helped with that as well, because they were playing against teams of similar standard, competitive games, getting results that they were never getting and improving themselves year on year. I think they're up to 63rd in the world now as well. But obviously, to beat Italy, coming off the back of Italy winning the Euros, is a huge story. But I don't think it's a case of, how could I say it, like years ago, if that had to happen when they were very much a minnow, yeah, like the way we used to view the Faroe Islands, San Marino maybe, or something like that.
The gaps are closing.
They are closing, yeah, absolutely. And I think what it highlights as well, getting away from that and slightly looking at it more from our perspective, it just goes to show how difficult it is nowadays, Shane, international football, and to qualify for tournaments. There was that brilliant stat that was doing the rounds last night, that the last knockout game that Italy have played in the World Cup is back in 2006. So it's incredible when you think of the history and heritage that Italian football has, that they haven't got out of their group and they haven't qualified twice as well. So it's remarkable, really. But certainly the story of the night was two stories. Macedonia was the big one, and of course Gareth Bale,
unbelievable.
Gareth Bale is like a country on his own.
Like, he has to be up there now with one of the best players in international football. Is he the best Wales have produced
ever? Yeah absolutely. Well, I suppose who are you comparing him to? Giggs, obviously, in the longevity he had.
John Hartson.
Ian Rush, obviously. But definitely in terms of, not only the international side of things, I think what he's achieved as well. I know he's getting a lot of stick at the moment with Real Madrid and things are not going as well as such, and he's absolutely fallen out with them. But I think if you look at his early days with Real Madrid as well and what he achieved, like, you go through it there, I don't know why they're annoyed with him, Shane. He's played 256 games and he's been involved in 173 goals / assists. He's won 4 Champions Leagues. He scored in 2 of the finals. He won a Copa del Rey, and that was the night when the famous goal where he ran off the pitch and came back on and scored the winning goal. So he's had a serious impact. I think there's an argument to be made, and I think he's very much number one in the best probably British export that's went across to a foreign league. He's been absolutely phenomenal, I think. I know, as I say, things have turned sour in the last couple of seasons with Real Madrid, but what he's achieved in his career, and you look at him still delivering with Wales, and the 2 goals last night, the free kick.
And I don't know how you describe it. Like,
and it's so hard to try and explain to people just how difficult that skill is. Mm. Like, we would have all grown up and you strike the ball either with your instep where you're curling it, like the Beckham free kick, or it's just a clean strike. He, obviously, they call it the knuckleball now. I think Ronaldo probably can. Go home and try it, people. You'd want to have a few spare ankles, because it's so difficult. And obviously he's mastered that technique. But the free kick last night, and you think of the atmosphere before the match, there was so much hype around obviously the Cardiff Stadium, and for him to deliver in the manner that he did, it was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, you mentioned Gareth Bale there and the fallout with Real Madrid, because this has developed, I suppose, today. Because, so kind of a bit of the backstory, Carlo Ancelotti, Real Madrid manager, said he didn't feel well. The Wales management said he had a little niggle and that's why he was left out. He's played just 77 minutes of club football since the end of August. So, and that is following hamstring and calf injuries. And we could see him during the match kind of slapping his thighs and everything and not wanting lactic acid to build up and so on. But he's been heavily criticised in the Madrid media. One media outlet described him as a parasite. And Bale was asked after the game whether his goal celebrations had sent a message to his critics. And Bale said he didn't need to send a message. He said, "I don't need to say anything. It's a waste of my time. It's disgusting. They should be ashamed of themselves. I'm not fussed, end of." And in the last couple of hours, he released a statement on Twitter, and he's got into it, and it's fairly it's a shot at the Spanish newspaper, because they are printing these headlines. And he said, "At a time where people are taking their own lives because of the callousness and relentlessness of the media, I want to know who is holding these journalists and the news outlets that allow them to write articles like this accountable. Fortunately, I have developed developed a thick skin during my time in the public spotlight, but that doesn't mean articles like these don't cause damage and upset personally and professionally to those at the receiving end of those malicious stories. I've witnessed the toll the media can take on people's mental and physical health. The media expect superhuman performances from professional athletes and will be the first to celebrate with them when they deliver, yet instead of commiserating with them when they show an ounce of human error, they are torn to shreds instead, encouraging anger and disappointment in their fans. And there's more in that statement, and he does go on. It's on his Twitter at GarrettBale11. So it shows that he is coming out firing here, but he's able to perform on the pitch, prove it on the pitch, and he's not afraid to speak his mind. And he's dead right, because these are headlines that could affect other players quite seriously.
I think this statement is absolutely brilliant for somebody of such high profile, Shane, coming off the back of what he did last night as well, because the point that he's trying to make is the fact that we have seen people obviously affected so badly who are down on their luck or their personal lives are not going the way they want them to do. And I think they have an even bigger impact when somebody is in that situation. The difference in this one is he's coming off the back of being the absolute hero. He's on cloud nine. So he's in a brilliant position to put out this statement and obviously get those points across. But as he said himself, he's built up that thick skin. Others are not as lucky to have built up the thick skin over the years, and they have been majorly affected by it. When I heard about the comments, and I know, look, the Spanish media, and it's maybe different in terms of the approach to take and how passionate they are, but there's no excuse for what they were calling him in the media last night and calling him a parasite. Whatever has gone on at the club, there's absolutely no excuse whatsoever for that, Shane. It's an absolute disgrace, and he's right. Someone should be held accountable for that, or anyone to print that. But I think this statement is brilliant for the point that he's trying to make. And as I say, coming off the back of what he did last night as well, it's the perfect time to get a message like this out.
Yeah, absolutely. And he says he wants to use that platform to encourage change in the way we publicly talk about it and criticise people simply for the most part not meeting the often unrealistic expectations that are projected onto them. So it is good to hear, and it's good to start that conversation. So there's going to be more qualifiers. The playoffs are on Tuesday, so we'll be previewing them next week. So lots to look forward to there. Portugal didn't have it there all their own way. They eventually defeated Turkey 3-1, but the scoreline doesn't really kind of give the full story of the match. But there is a small matter of Ireland versus Belgium tomorrow, and I suppose there's so much talk around our goalkeepers, and that's where we'll start the conversation. But before we get the thoughts of yourself, Alan Colley, let's hear the thoughts of Stephen Kenny on Caoimhín Kelleher.
He'll play, most likely play the two matches now, you know, I think it's fair to say, and deservedly so. Like, he's had to be patient because it was an unfortunate injury. He missed the last March camp with injury, and Gavin Bazunas has come in and been absolutely outstanding. And obviously we're on a run of where 4.5 games now consecutively without conceding a goal, and Gavin and Caoimhín's played his part in that, because he played against Qatar, and in Caoimhín's two matches to date against Qatar and Hungary, he hasn't conceded a goal either, so deserves his chance because he's been absolutely excellent.
And is this an opportunity for him to rival Gavin for the summer games?
Well, we have competition for places, and that's a good thing. Like, you never know in June or September who's fit or who's not fit or whatever issues there are, so it's good to have that depth and that level of competition. I look at that as a positive thing.
Well, it will be interesting to see how Caoimhín gets on, because to be fair, Bazunas was really performing. He saved a penalty against Portugal and so on, and he's been given these big opportunities against, with respect to Qatar and Hungary, against probably bigger nations. So now coming up against Belgium, this is a really big opportunity for Caoimhín, as he said there, to really kind of stake a claim, looking forward to the Nations League. And defensively, we have been solid. Stephen Kenny mentioned there, 4.5 matches without conceding a goal. So this is opportunity for Caoimhín to step up, and a few other players as well, Alan.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the game, Shane. As you say, I suppose it's the opportunity for Caoimhín Kelleher, but for anybody that doesn't think he doesn't deserve the opportunity, when you think of what he's done, obviously there's the competition with Bazunas, and as Stephen Kenny mentioned there, that's a good thing. We want that. We want as many good players as possible competing for the places, and we're very, very lucky in that regard. And you could even throw Mark Travers into that debate as well, who's performing really well with Bournemouth. So I think the goalkeeping situation is absolutely brilliant for us. And the one thing we've noticed, or what we've seen with Kelleher, anytime he has been given an opportunity, particularly at club level where it doesn't get any higher than Liverpool, he's performed admirably every time, and nothing fazes him. So tomorrow's game won't faze him either. By all accounts, he's quite a laid back character as well, so I'm sure he is absolutely no qualms whatsoever about getting that opportunity, and he will take it as well. I'm looking forward to it. You're right about the defensive situation. I think that's purely because there's a bit of continuity in the team selection as well, and we've some experienced players back there. Matt Doherty has obviously come back into form as well, not only with Ireland but club level in recent weeks, which is great to see. Nathan Collins being called into the squad, Dara O'Shea. So it'll be interesting to see, will he give any of those lads maybe a run out? Dara coming back into it, Jimmy Dunn as well, those lads. But I think he'll go with the tried and tested starting off the game, Shane, because he wants to keep the momentum that we've built up off the back of the end of last year. And as he mentioned himself, it's 4.5 games now that we haven't conceded. So to take pride in that, particularly defenders, obviously forwards take pride in scoring goals and that's what they're judged on. Forwards take the exact same amount of pride in keeping a clean sheet, or sorry, defenders in keeping a clean sheet. So I'm looking forward to the game. I think we will go, he will probably start with what we've seen in recent games, and as I say, that continuity and selection with maybe Josh Cullen Hendrick in the midfield area as well. You could maybe go one other on top of those two, and in the forward areas I'm sure we'll see Callum Robinson, Ogbene, and then probably one out of maybe two or three others that'll partner those two up front as well. So it'll probably be more of what we've seen. I'll be interested to see, will Sykes get some game time? He's been doing very well, obviously a club level Oxford call into the squad, and I think Conor Ronan will get some game time as well. If not tomorrow, definitely on Tuesday, because I know Stephen's a big fan of his.
Yeah, absolutely. And we will be looking forward to Tuesday in due course. But just on tomorrow, do you think Ireland can get a result? I know we'll say it's a friendly, it's about performance and it's about getting the team together and getting that continuity. But how do you think it will go on the scoreline?
Yeah, I think Stephen, of course, will put that spin on it, but he'll be out to win the game and he'll be going out to get a result, absolutely, Shane. But at the end of the day, it is a friendly game and trying to blood a couple of new lads, as I say, keep up that momentum and what we've built up off the back at the end of last year, and also in terms of the continuity and team selection, because I think that's so important, especially at international level. If you can get lads, even look at Wales last night, and that's one thing I've noticed with them, it's a settled 8 or 9 out of the 11. That's what you want to be getting at international level. You don't want to be coming into camps and having to chop and change and get no kind of relationships built up or partnerships built up with maybe someone, a left full or a left wing or anything like that. It's so important if you have that continuity in the team selection. We see that at club level as well, so that's no different. But so I think we'll see more of the same. I think we're capable of getting a result. Obviously Belgium don't have any of the big hitters with them, but they're still a very strong team full of top quality players. So I'm looking forward to the game. I'd be happy with a draw, Shane.
I say many, many listeners would be happy with a draw as well. Shane for soccer, Alan Colley, thank you very much. Enjoy the game. I'm sure we'll be chatting next week. No League of Ireland Premier Division fixtures this evening, but there are First Division, all 7:45 kickoffs. Bray Wexford, Cork Athlone, Longford Galway and Treaty United against Waterford. That is it for Association Football. We turn our attention to Gaelic football in a few moments, so do stay with us.
RTE 2FM.
On
2FM with Green Farm. Being flat to the mat isn't real. Our protein is. Get real with Green Farm. Real protein, real tasty.
Game on.
Gaelic football.
Hello, once again, you're very welcome back to Game On as we turn our attention to Gaelic games now and the Allianz Football Leagues in the company of former Sligo footballer Neil Ewing. Neil, the group phase of this year's leagues is reaching its finale and all 14 pieces of the promotion relegation jigsaw need to be completed. Three pieces are already in place. That is Kerry in the Division 1 final. Galway will be heading back to the top division and Down will be dropping down to Division 3. And so 11 more outcomes will be decided over this weekend. Five teams in Division 1 still have relegation concerns. Meath are safe in Tier 2 and would take an unusual scoring shift for Clare to enter the drop zone. It's either Offaly or Cork to join Down, making the drop from Division 2. And in Division 3, Loud will fancy themselves to top the section with four others in contention to join them. And in the bottom tier, Cavan and Tip looked well placed to go up. But Sligo and Leitrim will be eager to capitalise if the front two are surprised in the final round. So a lot of permutations, and I don't want to get bogged down too much with them. And for any of our listeners, I do have to give a plug to James McMahon on the RT Sport website, because he's done a really, really good article, really concise article, and given all the permutations and what can happen across the divisions. But Neil, if we start with Division 1, so we know Kerry are going to be in the final. They're going to top the league, and deservedly so, and we'll be interested to see whether that can translate into the summer. But I suppose Dublin and Monaghan will be facing off in Clonus, and one of them, technically two of them, could go down, but more likely than not, whoever loses this one will go down. So for the Dubs, two wins on the bounce and the narrative around them has changed somewhat. Key names have returned. They're not as open at the back. They're not pressing out from the middle like they were against their man Kerry, and crucially, they're not giving up as many goals. So like with Cormac Costello, Sean Bugler back, and they're going a bit more direct, will they win on Sunday, and will they stay up, I suppose?
Yeah, sure. I think you mentioned it there. They're not giving up the same amount of goals. And, you know, I think there's a lot of factors that play into that. And I think, you know, getting those more experienced heads back on the pitch, you know, we have Mick Fitzsimons has come back in, Johnny Cooper. I think they've really steadied the ship, not so much in terms of what they've done themselves, but even their calm and influence around the group. And you've seen Dublin have cut down on the silly turnovers, which really wasn't a part of their game up until the first few league games this year. And that's reduced a lot of the goal chances they've had. I think you have to fancy them this weekend on the back of the last two wins that they've picked up. Monaghan are probably a team, it's probably the last kick in that team for some of their older members, like the Hugheses, Conor McManus. I think Monaghan probably actually missed a trick this weekend in not bringing that game to Inneskeen and leaving it in Clonus. You know, some of the Dublin players will have experience of playing league games in Clonus over the last few years. But, you know, to go to Inneskeen would have just been another variable into the mix. Maybe a little bit more of a hostile environment. You know, Clonus, a fabulous venue where every footballer wants to play. So possibly it's not like Banty to miss a trick, but maybe he's missed one there.
Possibly so, but yeah, will be difficult for Dublin anyway, and will be interesting to see because there are a lot of permutations, and we will kind of recap that as we go. And Kieran Whelan mentioned during the week, perhaps Dublin don't have the strength and depth that they did once have. But looking at Mayo Kildare in Division 1 as well, so all these fixtures are 1:45 throw-ins on Sunday. So that's Monaghan, Dublin and Clonus, Mayo Kildare in Park Sean McDermott, actually, because of course McHale's still getting done up. So Mayo probably focusing on their meeting with Galway at the end of next month in the Connacht Championship, now that Division 1 survival is secure. But I suppose the talking point with Mayo at the moment, Neil, I want to get your thoughts on it. Aidan O'Shea named at six again this weekend, an experiment that potentially is working for some, isn't working. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think we can read a lot into numbers on players' backs, Shane. And, you know, yeah, obviously, Aidan O'Shea played a slightly different role the last day. But, you know, is it a traditional number six role that Mayo are going to look for Aidan O'Shea to play? Probably not. You know, Aidan, as we all know, has a basketball background, played here with the Sligo All-Stars locally. You know, he knows how to control a game. He's a player that probably enjoys being on the ball. And I think something that's really underrated with Aidan O'Shea is his tackling ability. You know, it's phenomenal for somebody who's maybe associated more with his scorers, well, attacking attributes, especially when he's played in at full forward. So I don't think it's a role James Horan is going to use Aidan O'Shea in for 70 minutes during the championship, but I think it's indicative of how James Horan has used this league campaign as well. He's been just a little bit of experimentation in each game, and, you know, I think he's tried to drip feed new ideas and new players, and he hasn't, you know, went with an overhaul in any particular game. And I think that's been fair to all the new players introduced and fair to the systems that he's trying. Will their focus be on Galway? I'm not entirely sure of that. I think this is just another game on the roadway towards an All-Ireland. I think that's how James Horan will be looking at it. If they can get a win, get a day out in Croke Park against Kerry, that'll be a bonus. If not, I don't think he'll be particularly upset either. And even, I think, looking forward to that championship game with Galway, Mayo, probably Tyrone, are two teams that can afford to probably psychologically lose a game in their provincial championships and not rule themselves out as All-Ireland contenders later in the year.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how it goes. And I say it would be an added bonus if we do get the Croker for a league final. Donegal, Armagh and Letterkenny and Mayo Kildare, as we mentioned, Kerry Tyrone is in Fitzgerald Stadium. And it's strange, Kildare could reach a league final for the first time since 91. Armagh, who've languished down in lower divisions, could get to a league final as well. Yet it could turn full circle and Kildare could go down. So it's all to play for, and there's so many kind of outcomes that could happen here. But I suppose when you're looking at the three that could go down, Tyrone, Kildare, Donegal, one of those will probably likely join Dublin or Monaghan. Donegal's record in Letterkenny isn't great. Tyrone, difficult fixture playing Kerry, even though they're into a league final. Going down to Clarny is never easy as well. So I suppose between Tyrone, Kildare, Donegal, who out of those three do you think might go down?
Yeah, I suppose you look at the table at the minute, Shane, and you have the three teams level on points, which takes the head-to-head between any of the two teams out of it. So it could possibly, are you going to be looking at a situation where Kildare, Donegal and Tyrone are all beaten and you're looking at somebody going down on scoring difference? At the minute, you have Tyrone there minus 12, Donegal minus 9. You know, if Tyrone get into a battle with Kerry, maybe a 1 point defeat. Do Armagh maybe go to Letterkenny and turn the screw on Donegal? A Donegal team who've blown hot and cold, and I think it's interesting they're bringing that Armagh game to Letterkenny. They play Armagh in the Championship in a few weeks. Maybe they didn't want to give Armagh a dry run at playing in Ballybofey. Armagh then, on the other hand, are they going to want to fully show their hand against Donegal a few weeks out from a possible Championship encounter? Will they go with a few changes and give Donegal a chance to pick up the 2 points? You know, I can, you know, possibly see a situation where Kildare, Donegal and Tyrone are beaten and it does come down to scoring difference. In that situation, you're probably looking at Donegal or Tyrone. And it makes Tyrone's trip to Kerry to face the league leaders all the more daunting as well. But as we know, the All Ireland champions probably have an itch to scratch after taking a trimming down there last year. So yeah, that makes that a very interesting encounter. But one, I think Jack O'Connor will really want. He'll want a game where there's something on the line for the opposition, because, you know, if we look right back to 2014, when Kerry beat Mayo in the Gaelic grounds, Kerry haven't come out on top in any of the really tight encounters that they've played when there's been a lot on the line. So I think Jack O'Connor will be rubbing his hands at Tyrone coming down to Kerry with possible relegation on the line.
Yeah, and of course, each of Jack O'Connor's previous stints as Kerry boss began with a league title. So to surmise, I suppose, I know we were given the thoughts there that perhaps some of the lower down teams mightn't win, but there are sound reasons for believing that Tyrone, Kildare and Donegal, all on 5 points, could win or draw their games to escape Dublin's clutches. And in that case, only a Donegal draw coupled with a Dublin win in Clonus would preserve Desi Farrell's Dubs in the top tier. So as I say, RT Sport on the website there has a full breakdown of what can happen, but there is plenty of drama in the other divisions as well. Neil, in Division 2, we know Pádraig Joyce's Galway were in their pomp when blitzing Derry last week at 100% return so far. Roscommon do have it in their own hands to join them in the top flight next year. So in Division 2, they're all 2 p.m. throw-ins: Down v Clare, Meath v Derry, Offaly v Cork and Roscommon v Galway. So will the Rossies get promoted?
Yeah, I think they will, Shane. And, you know, and this is to take nothing away from Roscommon, but I think it also points towards a weakness in the league where we have a situation where Galway secured their promotion last week. There's a good chance maybe Pádraig Joyce is going to look at it as an opportunity to experiment, you know, maybe try a few new players, if not wholesale changes. So you're looking at Roscommon at home. Listen, they're probably some of the most passionate supporters in the country, the Roscommon supporters, when they fill Hyde Park. So against maybe a slightly understrength goal, you'd have to fancy them to get a win there. And that means Derry's result against Meath becomes irrelevant. But yeah, you know, I touched on it there. We talk about a league, but, you know, it's just 7 games. And yeah, it's not really a true barometer of form. And, you know, you see that in Division 1. You have Armagh, who are having what we would say a good league, on 7 points. Tyrone, who most people would say are having a bad league, on 5 points, just one win behind them. I think our league is probably too short. You know, you'd love to see more games in the league so we could get a better reflection of where teams are at. And, you know, also we have what is probably really, if anybody else was to look at it from the outside, a farcical situation where you have some teams playing 4 home games and other teams only playing 3 home games. But yeah, to go back to Roscommon, you'd fancy them in Hyde Park to pick up a win. And unfortunately for Derry, who started the league so strongly and probably played teams, you know, obviously played a full-strength Galway team and were surprisingly well-beaten, are going to miss out on promotion.
Yeah, I suppose there's so much talk about Championship and reformatting and everything else. Let's not get into how the league should be restructured, Neil. Sticking with Division 2 at the opposite end then, so it's going to be really, really tight and really interesting. So Offaly play Cork, as I say, 2 p.m. throw-in down in O'Connor Park. Fateful momentum stalled if they fall. Much head-scratching for Keith Ricken and co. if the Tailteann Cup looks a more realistic proposition after this weekend. A draw would be enough for the Rebels owing to their superior scoring difference. So plenty of drama. Who's going to come out on top and why between Offaly and Cork?
Yeah, Offaly obviously be delighted to have home advantage for this, but I think they'll be bitterly disappointed with their performance last week against what was a 14-man Roscommon team from the 14-15 minute onwards. You know, they were soundly beaten. you know, even from listening to the reports, it was a game that seemed to be over at half time as well. You know, Roscommon had put them away. So I think that could be just a little bit demoralising for Offaly. Cork, on the other hand, got a win against Down, a badly needed win. But I just think, you know, Cork's obviously a lot of young players. Awfully, some players from the All-Ireland winning under 20 team starting to come through, but just those Cork young players, you know, as the pitches start to harden up, the game becomes less of a slog. I think they might start to find a little bit of form. I just think Cork's ceiling is a little bit higher than Awfully's, and I just fancy them to come through.
Okay, will be interesting to see how that goes. And obviously people, and Cork definitely will want to avoid the drop to the Tulchan Cup. In Division 3, Mickey Hart and Louth are on course for back-to-back promotion. Sam Mulroy continues to just shoot out the scoring lights. What a talent. I was up in RD last weekend and he really does have it all. 3.44 in the league now so far. Not a bad return. In Division 4, Tipperary and Cavan look ready to bounce back. They've been far from impressive, to be fair. And as you say, I suppose that leads to the tight league season. But Cavan are on track to escape from Division 4. For Tipperary, after a sluggish start, looks set to join them, probably as expected in that division, to be fair. In Division 3, the second place, I suppose, to go up, it's in Limerick's hands. It's pretty simple. A win for the Treaty against Fermanagh, and they go up. Any other results leave them open to being pipped. So Tip Cavan probably as we expected, but just a word in Louth, because Mickey Hartsey's and Devlin there as well, the assistant, they've a contract until 2025 there, so they look like they're in it for the long haul. And it's great to see Louth back-to-back promotions.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I suppose, you know, Louth still have to go and do a job again.
Sorry, I'm being very presumptuous there. Very presumptuous, but you're the likely case.
yeah, definitely, for sure. I think on all form, we'd expect Louth to pick up a win this weekend. Mickey Hart, a remarkable career. You know, what he did with Tyrone was, you know, truly unique, you know, in taking those minor under 21 teams to All-Irelands, then their senior All-Irelands after that. But I think you touched on it there, and it really is a key point, is Gavin Devlin. And you know, Mickey Hart hasn't been too proud to not bring somebody in alongside him. And even from watching Gavin Devlin on the sideline along with Mickey Hart, he seems to have a big say in how their team's set up. And you know, I think how the coaching that Gavin Devlin has done, and tactically the input he's had along with Mickey Hart and Louth, has been huge. And you know, even I think little things, you know, you touched on Sam Mulroy, the great form he's having. I see Jim McGuinness is involved in coaching his club team. So you know, when Louth are getting people like that involved in their club game, and then obviously Mickey Hart leading the county team, you know, it helps with progress for sure. Limerick, I know we spoke about a number of weeks ago, you know, there's a great story there on some of the work that's going on. Some of the underage work probably hasn't even come true yet. Billy Lee has really turned that around. They'll have a tough task against Fermanagh. I know Fermanagh were very disappointed to have a point ruled out last week, that, you know, if it had stood, it would have left them probably in a position to go on and win that game and maybe be fighting for promotion also this week. So, yeah, that's going to be an interesting encounter, Limerick and Fermanagh. Fermanagh are definitely not going to be a walkover for Limerick. Everyone else is probably going to be hoping that Fermanagh can do them a favour and trip Limerick up. Division 4 then, I think Cavan too strong for Division 4, but strange results the last 2 weeks for them. You know, they were nearly pipped at the post by London last week, you know, let in a few sloppy goals. The week before they were beaten by Tipperary at home, which is a result that dragged Tipperary back into promotion contention that you wouldn't have expected, especially after they lost to Leitrim early in the year. I think Leitrim are a team that are really, really going to be kicking themselves. They played London in the Connacht Centre of Excellence probably on a day that no game should have went ahead with terrible weather conditions, and they got caught out. If Leitrim had those 2 points from the London game, they'd be right in the mix for promotion. You know, a win against Sligo this weekend would put them up. Sligo obviously disappointed that Tipperary picked up the points in Cavan. I think it has to be said, disappointing that the Tipperary-London game will be played on Saturday evening and not at the same time as the Sligo-Leitrim game on Sunday, or that whatever point in the weekend the games are scheduled, that they're not taking place at the same time. You know, I think it really devalues that Sligo-Leitrim game in that they'll know if they still have a chance of promotion before a ball is thrown in, or probably 16 hours before a ball is thrown in. So, you know, I'd like to see some explanation from the GA on that one. But yeah, you would fancy Cavan to get the win over Waterford and Tipperary to pick up a win against London, and both of them to be promoted.
Okay, good stuff. And there's a relegation for grabs in Division 3 as well. Of Laois lose to Longford and Wicklow beat Louth, then all three counties will end up in 5 points. The O'Mara men will have a big advantage when it comes to scoring difference, of course. So as I said, I'd point people in the direction of James McMahon on the RT Sport website. Has a really, really good article on all the permutations. Neil Ewing, thank you very much. A pleasure as always as we go from Gaelic football to hurling in the company of Shane McGrath. And Shane, plenty of drama and excitement to look forward to this weekend on the hurling front as well. A little less complicated because there's less matches on. Starting with Division 1, two semi-finals, rightly or wrongly, some people are saying it shouldn't even be played. There shouldn't be semi-finals, but however, Cork versus Kilkenny down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh at 7:15 tomorrow night, and then on Sunday it's Wexford versus Waterford in Nolan Park at 3:45. So starting with the Saturday night match, Cork-Kilkenny, Shane. It's a rematch of last August All-Ireland semi-final. Extra time, epic. How do you see this one going?
Yeah, an epic last year above in Croke Park, but I suppose from a Cork point of view, they were 6 points up coming into the closing of that game. You know, they probably were the better team for a lot of it, and then Kilkenny got the goal and, you know, took it to extra time. But like, I was just reading through it there about Cork's record in this league semi-finals that, the last time they won the league, I suppose, was 1998. The last time they lost the semi-final was 2008 to Galway, and I was actually on a Tip team that ended up beating Galway in the league final that year. That's the last time Tip won the league. But their record in semi-finals is pretty good, but when they get to finals, then it's not so good. They lost 2010, 2012 and 2015. But I just think Cork are a different animal this year. I really do. I was on duty to see him play Limerick in the Gaelic grounds, and while the hurling was poor, Cork got what they wanted out of it. I think there was a lot of hurt there from the All-Ireland final, and I think physically they're a stronger unit this year, even since the All-Ireland final last year. I use one player in particular, Darragh Fitzgibbon. I just physically feel that he's a much stronger guy. He's really bulked up over the last four or five months. And like, that they are the new leaders now with this team. They're not looking to Pat Horgan maybe or Seamus Harney anymore as much as they used to. They still do, but not as much, because like, they have leaders now in the likes of Kingston, Darragh Fitzgibbon, Mark Coleman. You know, Ger Mellerick, the job that he does for the team. Everyone sees what a loss he was to the All-Ireland final last year when they didn't have him, allowing Coleman to sweep. So I just think Cork are a different animal. And I do feel that, you know, going on form and everything, okay, granted they lost to Wexford, they're probably playing the best hurling as a whole panel in the league so far this year, in my opinion. Like, so I think it'll be a serious game between themselves. Kilkenny, Cody loves winning leagues. I think he's won 10 leagues. And he'll definitely want to win an 11th, and he's found some gems there, hasn't he? Like in Blanchfield, Mikey Butler, Keane Kenny, three guys that a lot of people outside of Kilkenny might not have heard of even up to this year, but they've been really good in the league. And Owen Cody will probably be back, Mullen will probably be back. I know that TJ Reid is having a groin issue. You mightn't see him maybe till the second or third round of the Leinster Championship, maybe if he gets right. But I just think down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh, I just think the way Cork are going, I really fancy him to win this game tomorrow night.
Yeah, certainly with home advantage as well. You mentioned Cody likes winning leagues. He had a great quote last weekend. Why would you not want to win it? It always matters whether you want to win or lose. If it doesn't matter, then there's something wrong. So that's just as peak Brian Cody. But as you say, Cork haven't been in a final since 2015. They haven't won a league since 98. They lost to Waterford in 2015. Kilkenny were joint winners with Galway last year, but last played in a final in 2018 when they were beaten by Tipperary, your own Tipperary. So yeah, it will be interesting to see how that one goes. Then on Sunday, Wexford versus Waterford. They last met in the league in 2018. Wexford, of course, the only Division 1 team to win every group match. Certainly an impressive showing in Dara Egan's first year in charge. So again, hopefully, from a neutral perspective, plenty of drama down at Kilkenny Sunday.
Yeah, there will. And, you know, people are asking, like, of the four teams that are left, like, will they all want to win the league? They'll definitely all want to win the league because, as you said, Brian Cody said, why wouldn't you want to win it? And I think, if I go back to Kilkenny for a second, their first two matches in the Leinster Championship are Laois and Westmeath. So with all due respect to them, you know, I mean, they really want this competitive game and even a league final. Cork haven't won it since 98. Liam Cahill, you know, like, while granted Waterford won it in 2015, this is Liam Cahill's third year down there. And if anyone knows Liam Cahill as a manager, this guy is a serial winner. Like, you know, he's won a lot of stuff underage with Tip, minors, 20s, under 21s. You know, when he gets involved with teams, more often than not, they win, and they win big. And he'll want to win. He'll want to push on and win. And, you know, for Dara Egan, manager of Wexford, I mean, you know, I think everything is a bonus now, to be honest, for Dara as regards the league. Not the championship, but as regards the league, you know, in regards that he's the newest manager of the four that are left. He's tried out things, and I think they've worked. I think if you even look at the amount of goals Wexford have scored this year in comparison to previous years, it's because when they look up, now they can see two guys inside. And there's always someone inside, whereas before they would have shot from distance. And what he's doing is working, and he's getting the best out of players. Like, for example, Rory O'Connor. I was just looking at Rory O'Connor's stats. He scored 3.32 in the league so far. He's averaging 10 points a game. He's not on the freeze for all the games either. And for me, I suppose in other sports, especially in American sports, you have the MVP. Well, if there's an MVP in the league so far, for me, it's Rory O'Connor. And then if you flip it on the other side, you talk about scores and tie tally. Stephen Bennett has scored 6.40 in the league. So he's averaging 15 points a game. Like, it's what the two of them are doing. They're really on form. They're really enjoying their hurling. And you have both teams really, really want to win this. I just think where Waterford are right now, I think they're a little bit further on in their development. I think that Liam Cahill, for the first time maybe in a long time, can really choose his best team, with the exception of Jamie Barron, who sounds like he might be out for another little while. But you know, Ozzy Gleeson's in form. Desi's back. Pádraic Mahony's back. Callum Lyons has to get back in as well. Conor Prunty. And I just think Waterford are a little bit further on in development. I think they have almost everyone that they can pick from. And as I said, Liam Cahill wants to win, and he'll want to win with this group. And for those reasons, I feel that Waterford will push on and get the win in Nolan Park on Sunday.
Well, it certainly will be interesting to see how it goes. You mentioned Rory O'Connor, 3.16 from play. I mean, I was reporting on Wexford Cork for League Sunday, actually, and it was just between Sam Mulroy and Loud and Rory O'Connor in Wexford. It's just scary how well and how on form they are. So it will be interesting to see how it goes. Wexford, of course, looking for a first league title since 1973. They're the semi-finals, but there's equal drama at the bottom end of Division 1, because Offaly and Antrim will be battling it out for survival, and much needed survival in the top tier of hurling, in terms of how they will progress. It finished level when these sides last met in the 2020 league in 2A. A lot has changed since then. Obviously, Neil McManus looked like he's going to be out with a hamstring issue, so that's a massive blow for Antrim. But how do you see this one panning out?
Yeah, I think Neil McManus is a massive, massive loss. You mentioned Roy O'Connor, Stephen Bennett. What they do for their counties, Neil McManus does for Antrim and more. He scored 4.29, and again, he's averaging 10 points a game. Like, and he's a huge, huge loss if he is going to be out. I think Antrim, you know, that they've played really well in the league. If you go down through the results, they lost by a point to Laois, they lost by 2 points to Waterford, they lost by 4 points to Dublin, lost by 3 points to Kilkenny. They've never actually been hammered, with the exception of the last day against Tip, which they were just, you know, they conceded 7.29. And, like, they'll be really, really hurting. But I think they have performed consistently well in the games. They just haven't got the win yet, and I just feel that, you know, albeit Offaly, they had a good performance against Wexford. You know, they got a bit of a pace off Limerick the last day. So you've two teams coming off the back of big defeats, but for me, overall, in an overall team concept, I just think that Antrim are probably a better team right now than Offaly, and I think that the experience they would have got from running all those teams very close, the likes of Waterford, Dublin, Kilkenny, you know, and Laois, albeit they haven't won yet, I just think that overall that they're probably a little bit ahead of Offaly at the moment. And I'm actually on duty for that tomorrow, my maiden voyage in my life to Park Charlton in Navan. So looking forward to a great reception from them all up there tomorrow for that game. But I think the Antrim lads will do it. Albeit if Neil McManus is not there, it'll be a bit harder. But I just feel that they'll get over the line there tomorrow.
Beautiful ground, Park Talton. I've been down there many times, so yeah, hopefully it's nice out for you. Plenty of drama down divisions as well. 2A, it's Westmeath versus Kerry. The winners will play down. 2B, Donegal v Sligo. Winners will play Derry. 2 Mayo Wicklow. Winners in the relegation playoff, I should say. Sorry, in 2B, Mayo Wicklow in O'Connor Park at 12:30 on Saturday. And Division 3A, Roscommon Armagh. Winners play Tyrone. And 3B, Longford v Leitrim. The winners will play Fermanagh. So I did give the plug for James McMahon and a very, very good article on RT Sport website. Owen Ryan has done the same for the hurling side of things, so there's full details in there, and as always, there'll be comprehensive coverage in Radio 1 Saturday Sport and Sunday Sport. Shane McGrath, time is against us. Just very, very briefly, I mentioned at the start, Bubbles missing for the summer, another headache for Colin Bonner. Just briefly, just another blow for Tip.
Oh, look, it really is like look, how did I describe Bubbles? Bubbles is as good as hurler with his left hand on top of the hurley as is his right hand on top of the hurley. He's gifted. I've seen him do things in training, I've seen him doing things with Tip with his club. what he has, you can't teach anybody. He's a massive, massive loss, and you know, it is a headache for Cullen Bonner. But you know what? It's an opportunity now for someone else that maybe thought they weren't going to be there, thereabouts. That now a space has opened up, and you're just hoping that they'll grab it with both hands and drive it on and try and nail down a place in the forward line this year.
Okay, well, it will be interesting to see how Tip get on in the summer, and indeed how the hurling pans out this weekend. That is it for Gaelic Games. Horse racing is up next, I should say. So do stay with us.
RTE 2FM.
Game on.
On 2FM with Green Farm. Rise and grind and the hustle mindset aren't real. The protein in our chicken and turkey is. Get real with Green Farm. Real protein, real tasty.
Live music on 2FM.
Ed Sheeran returns with his spectacular In the Round show.
My bad habits lead to
Croke Park, Dublin, April 24th. And Parky Queeve, Cork, Friday, April 29th.
I'm in love with the shape of you. Push and pull like a magnet. Open my heart is falling.
Extra tickets available this Monday at 9 a.m. Presented by Aiken Promotions.
Live music on 2FM.
You look tired.
Yeah, Owen's eczema is really bad. We were up most of the night trying to stop him scratching.
That's terrible. Sounds like you need dum-dum-dum-dum Double Bass.
Double what?
Double Bass Emollient Gel. It works quickly to soften, moisturise and protect my little girl's dry skin.
That sounds dum-dum-dum-dum perfect.
Double Bass Emollient Gel. Nothing looks, feels or performs quite like it for childhood eczema. Ask for Double Bass Emollient Gel in your local pharmacy. Suitable for all ages. Always read the label. Visit mydoublebass.ie to find out more.
Let's fast forward a little. It's April Fool's. And guess who's looking like a right fool? Not you. Because you heard Three were having a flash sale. And you got yourself iPhone 13 in green. With the most advanced dual camera system ever. For just €99. Don't be left feeling the April Fool. Get great deals like this one in-store or at 3.ie from March 24th to 31st only. Three, for a better connected life. €60 per month price plan, 24-month contract. Subject to 4.5% annual increase. Terms and conditions apply.
At Centra, we have great offers for Mother's Day. Like Centra Fresh Hours Triploin Steak 360 gram, only €7. Cadbury Milk Tray 530 gram, half price, now €9.75. And until Sunday, Champagne Pierre Darcy's Brut, only €15. Centra, live every day. Enjoy call sensibly.
At AIB, we don't make technology for you to bank. We make it for you to live. So you can apply for a credit card through the AIB app or online and get it sent straight to your door. Banking to fit the way you live. AIB, we back doing. Lender criteria, terms and conditions apply. Over 18s only, subject to approval. And at Irish Banks PLC is regulated by the Central Bank of Ireland.
Festivals on 2FM.
Ireland's only surf and music festival is back again for 22. Sea Sessions, Bundoran. With Codaline, Tiny Tempa, Basement Jacks, The Academic, Joel Corey, Lyra, Jimmy Webster, Gemma Dunleavy, Paul Wolford, Ejeka, and loads more. June 17th to June 19th. Tickets available now. Check Ticketmaster or csessions.com for more details.
Festivals on 2FM.
Game on.
Racing.
Now, you're very welcome back to Game On this Friday evening, and I am in the company of Jane Mangan now. Jane, we're on the final furlong. We're going to dive straight in. It's been too long. Great to chat to you on a Friday evening, as always. It is a return to the flat this weekend. You're back at the Curra for the opening meeting of the year, which features the €100,000 Irish Lincolnshire and the Group 3 Park Express Stakes. What can we expect on our first day back at the Kildare venue?
Well, whatever it is about the flat, guys, they seem to attract the sunshine, Shane, because it's been glorious all week. The ground has quickened up and it'll be perfect for the opening meet tomorrow and, of course, at Naas on Sunday. Look, I wasn't expecting to see a horse of the calibre of Mother Earth on the first day back, but so we are. We are lucky to have the Guineas winner, last year's 1,000 Guineas winner and top class filly Mother Earth contesting the Park Express. She's going to be hard to beat, but you have Insinuendo, Freedom of Speech, Emily Gray, Emphatic Answer. It's actually quite a good race. And I think at this time of year, You always have to be a little bit wary of some trainers. They really do tap into these races at the early part of the season, and that is where we will be following Mr. Jim Bulger, because he so often has his horses fit and ready to fire in March. And then you mentioned the Lincolnshire, €100,000, sponsored by Paddy Power. Adel McGuinness hasn't missed here. He's got seven contenders. Seven. Now, he did win it a couple of years back with a horse called Saltonstall.
Okay.
He's in here, but he's also got Bowerman, the Mount of Ryan Moore, top weight current option, ridden by his apprentice, Keane McGremond. This is such a deep race. Jim Bulger, as I mentioned, Agitare in here. He'll be ready to rock. A handful of summers and a plethora of other horses. There's no less than 27 horses going to line up in this race. It's an absolute minefield.
Jeez, that is going to be great stuff. And then on Sunday, there's plenty on. We've Jumping at Limerick and the Flat at Naas, however, with less than a fortnight to the Aintree's big meeting in Liverpool. I think it's fair to say, Jane, that we're just not 100% ready to shift our focus from National Hunt just yet.
No, you've got Fairy House at Easter, you've got Cork at Easter, and you've got Punchestown yet to come. I'm just not completely turning my attention to the flat just yet. We're still suffering from indigestion from Cheltenham. We're just about over our 18 winners from Ireland. And of course, we still have the Aintree Grand National to come. And I know a lot of people last week would have been disappointed that Tiger Roll got beaten, the former dual Aintree Grand National winner at Cheltenham. But maybe, Shane, maybe he was beaten by the future Grand National winner in Delta Work.
Well, watch this space, for sure. Watch this space. Well, listen, there's so much horse racing to look forward to, and that means we'll be chatting plenty in the weeks to come, Jane. Unfortunately, time is against us. So it is a pleasure as always. Have a great weekend and enjoy the current. That is it from Game On. I did mention we'd hear from Oisín McConville. Unfortunately, we aren't able to squeeze that one in, but you can listen to the full podcast interview that I caught up with Oisín McConville a bit earlier on in the week, wherever you get your podcast from. So, Sinead, thanks for listening. That is it from the Game On team on this Friday. Have a great weekend, but do stay tuned, because the official chart show with Blanna Tracy is up next.
RTE 2FM.
Game On.
On 2FM.
With Green Farm. Get real with Green Farm's chicken and turkey range. Real protein, real tasty.
Live music on 2FM.
Don't call me up, I'm going out tonight.
Mabel. Live at Fairview Park, Dublin. On June 28th.
Good luck.
Tickets available now from Ticketmaster. Mabel, live in Dublin. Tickets available now.
Live music on 2FM.
Longer days are here. Make the most of them with Eurospar and our latest offers. York cabbage, avocados and 1 kilogram rooster potatoes, only 49 cent each. La Celia Reserve wine range, only €9.99. And this weekend only, our specially selected Mother's Day bouquets start from just €8. That's everyday great value at Eurospar, the super easy supermarket. Offers available until April 13th unless otherwise stated. In participating stores while stocks last. Enjoy alcohol responsibly.
It's not just electric, it's a Mercedes. Mercedes EQ, where luxury is reimagined for a sustainable world. Where iconic design satisfies your desire for better. Where reducing emissions is exciting. Mercedes EQ is the new all-electric range that gives back in style. Innovation with no compromise on luxury. This is for you. The all-electric Mercedes EQ range.
Hey Zig, did you know that schools all across Ireland are taking part in ESB Science Blast right now?
I know, Zag. And did you know that they're busy investigating all sorts of interesting questions like,
why does our skin wrinkle in water?
Does the material of a hurley affect your puck out?
Will robots take over the world one day?
Agus Conas a Snovin Bod. ESB Science Blast, delivered by the RDS, empowers kids to investigate the science behind simple questions just like these ones.
Discover more at ESBScienceBlast.com.
We all know a bet can go either way. It's part of the game. That's why at William Hill we offer you the right tools to help you stay in control. You can set your own deposit limits or take a time out whenever you want to, so you and your mates get to keep it fun, always. Stay in control of the way you play with William Hill. Gamble responsibly. 18 plus gambling.